Welcome to Refresh, a podcast designed to revive, recharge, and renew your faith and give you the tools to follow Jesus. Refresh comes to you from the Salvation Army in Gwinnett County, Georgia. We meet in person every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or online on Facebook and YouTube at Sal Army Gwinnett. We are excited that you have joined us this week and pray that God will bring His Word to life. And now, for our speaker.
Amen. Experiencing the presence of God. Through various elements of our worship this morning, I'm sure that you will agree with me that we have been led beautifully in that way. Thank you to the praise team, to the songsters, to the band, to all those who've contributed to doing just that, leading us into the presence of God. What is presence, anyway? By definition, and through various sources, presence is said to be the state or the fact of existing or being present. And as we begin this morning, it is important that we understand and we acknowledge the truth. God has always existed. His presence has always been. Scripture tells us in the beginning was what? The Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God was, period. And there isn't a time when he was not. Psalm 92 says, "Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." And with the reaffirming truth that God's presence has always been, this morning we have move to the part of experiencing the presence of God. How have you, or how do you experience the presence of God in your life? Different ways that people have described experiencing just that are things like this: a feeling of peace during a difficult time. Through music, worship, and prayer, we felt that this morning. Through scripture verses that resonate with us. It's a comfort during times of grief, a powerful moment of clarity or inspiration, the awe and the beauty of nature. One hymn writer seems to have experienced God's presence in that way, and we know it well. "O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, I hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. And when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art." Honestly, I can think of moments and times where I have been acutely aware of God's presence in all of these ways and more. And like the author of the beloved hymn, the beauty of creation is certainly among them. I love the mountains, I love the trees, I love the ocean, and I love flowers. There's so much beauty and detail in every one of them, but I will admit that I am terrible at keeping them alive. They look pretty from afar, but I'm not good at keeping them alive. And I have some pictures this morning that I think will be displayed. This picture I found one day at the side of quarters that I lived in Florida. I hadn't noticed it. I don't know how long it had been there, but one particular day I walked to the side of my house and there was this beauty. The next slide. I remember a particular day where it was a very difficult time for me, and purple is my favorite color. And I'm thinking, well, God really met me at my point of need that day. I walked out of my house, another house in Florida, and this beautiful purple flower was just greeting me as I left my house that day. And it might seem like something small, but in that moment, I was aware that God was with me. The next slide. This, I don't know how long it had been there, but this was behind my quarters here in Lawrenceville. I walked in my backyard one day, and all of the beauty was around me. The last slide. This was a picture taken at the Garden Tomb in Israel several years ago when I had opportunity to go there. The first three pictures, they were literally right before me. They were right there. All I had to do was open my eyes and see them. But the picture at the Garden Tomb, there was a lot of rock. There was a lot of stone. There was a lot of barrenness in that particular place. And had I not looked just a little closer, I may have missed this beautiful symbol of life. I think it's relatively easy to see beauty because it's all around us. But to find beauty suggests that there's an element of intentional seeking on our part to experience it in all of its fullness. And I wonder how much more we miss because of our own lack of awareness or intentionality. In addition to my initial question, how have you or how do you experience the presence of God in your life? How have you or how do you intentionally seek His presence? And what does that even mean for us? When was the last time you can honestly say you were aware of God's presence? And I wonder, how can we become more aware of His presence in our life today? Let's consider these questions, and as we do, I pray that we will not miss His presence in our midst this day. Through the voice of God Himself and in the lived experience of His people, what else do we know about His presence? Scripture tells us He is the God who goes before you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Scripture tells us our God is an ever-present help in times of trouble. What trouble? Well, Scripture goes on to say when you pass through the waters, the rivers, the fire, that kind of trouble, I will be with you. Yes, I am with you, and I will be with you. With you wherever you go, what we know is this: God's presence is everywhere. We cannot go where God is not. He is the omnipresent God. Now, maybe this will be a moment of confession for some of us this morning, but confession is good for us, someone says. Here we go. Have you ever just wanted to escape someone's presence? Don't answer that out loud, please. Have you ever just wanted to escape someone's presence? Let me set the stage with this example. You're already behind schedule because you slept through the alarm. The traffic is heavier than normal, and let's face it, the traffic is always heavy. You have an appointment in an hour, but you need to make a quick stop at the local Walmart to get something you need. You're walking down the aisle, and as you turn the corner, you notice Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so. Now, for today, they don't have a name, all right? We're not getting in trouble today, at least not because I've encouraged you to do so. And you know if they see you, you are not making it to your appointment because they are going to have a lot to talk about. So what do? Full confession now. You turn around as quickly as you can and you go down another aisle, and there they are again. You make another turn. You grab what you need and you quickly rush to the checkout, all out of breath, but so relieved that in that moment you escaped their presence, whoever they are. However, the truth of the word is clear on this. We cannot escape the presence of God. The psalmist asked the question, where can I go? And in other translations, it says, how can I avoid? How can I get away? How can I run away, flee, escape your spirit? How can I get away from you? To be out of your sight, to be out of your presence, O God. And in response to his own question, he declares, your spirit is everywhere I go. From the heights of the heavens to the depths of the grave, you are there. I cannot escape your presence. I can never be lost to your spirit. I love that translation. I can never be lost to your spirit. I can never get away from my God. But I will say to us this morning that while it is impossible to escape the presence of God, we can miss the beauty and the fullness of it. So let's press in this morning. Psalm 91, which was read for us earlier, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. The Message paraphrase says it like this: you who sit down in high God's presence will rest in it. And what that rest looks like is beautifully outlined in the verses that follow. And later today, or even now, if you want to look to that Psalm 91 and just read down through those verses, it tells us that in the presence of this Most High God, we find refuge, we find safety, protection, provision, rescue, faithfulness, peace, salvation, victory, love, attentiveness, promise, honor, favor. Amen? God is good. God is good. You'll note this psalm clearly identifies various times and seasons of trouble that are part of the human experience. We are not exempt. In the New Testament, Jesus later said, in this world you will have trouble. Now we might say, well, Jesus, can you give us some good news, please? And he does, doesn't he? He gives us the good news. He is the good news. Yes, you will have trouble, but the presence of God is with you in the trouble. Psalm 23 says it, the songsters sang of it this morning, that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. The shadow of the darkest valley cannot overcome the shadow of the Almighty. The shadow of the darkest valley cannot overcome the shadow of the Almighty. In the previous chapter, Psalm 90, the psalmist said, Lord, you have been our home since the beginning, a dwelling place throughout all generations. And then we get this image of the person, the one who in turn makes God their home. I think it is noteworthy here, notice the phrasing, if anyone lives in the Almighty God. Those who go and to God Most High, whoever lives, whoever dwells, whoever finds shelter, those who take refuge. God is our home, yes. He is our foundation. But this phrasing suggests to us that we must intentionally choose to find, to make, to build our home in Him. We must intentionally seek His presence. We can't do God's part. And he won't do ours. He will not force a personal relationship or an experience on any of us, but the act of choosing not to is all on us. He is with us. But I wonder, are we truly with him? Are we truly with him? Are we dwelling, abiding, actively and intentionally living in his presence? While God's presence is everywhere, even if we are oblivious to it, even if we put forth low-level effort to experience it, choosing to dwell in God is so much richer and deeper and beautiful than just catching a glimpse of it. Seek me, and you will find me, says the Lord. So let's dig a little deeper still. We're encouraged by the display of God's goodness and favor in Psalm 91. We talk of the troubles, trials, life struggles, and the words come from our lips verbatim, yes, God is with us, God is with us. But hypothetical aside, what of real life news? News from the doctor that is not what you expected or what you had hoped for. When the struggle to pay bills is real. When your job is at risk. When death comes knocking at your family's door, and no matter how hard you prayed for your loved one's healing, it did not come earthside. When your child is wandering down a dangerous path and you feel helpless, maybe hopeless. When the answer we long for right now, we may not get right now. Maybe we've been praying for days, weeks, months, even years, waiting and waiting and waiting for God to do something. In reality, not hypothetical, when things are far from what we want or ask, what of God then? What of our God then? What does the presence of God feel like or look like in those seasons? Do we still say with assurance, God is with me? Can we say like the men in the fiery furnace, my God is able to deliver, but even if he doesn't, I will still worship him? Do we really believe that God will make all things beautiful in its time? While we take heart in knowing that ultimate victory is ours through Jesus, sometimes, many times, we have to sit in that moment. We have to wait. We have to endure. We have to be patient. We have to persevere as we navigate the brokenness of life this side of eternity. And I say all of that to say this. If the depths of our experience and our relationship with God is only as deep as the ways in which God works according to our time and the way that works in our immediate favor, we are really missing the true fullness of his presence. Our abiding, our dwelling, our living should never be based on our opinion of how good God is doing his job of being God, or our approval of the blessings he gives. Because the truth is this, regardless of our circumstance or our situation, God is still God. God is still God, and he's still good, and he is always working for our good. At all times, in all places, in every circumstance, his presence is with us, and that is more than enough. What is our true desire or hunger for this morning? Is it mostly or only for the blessings of God? Or is it for the presence of God? Not for what God does, but for who God is. A.W. Tozer said, "Nothing in or of this world measures up to the simple pleasure of experiencing the presence of God. All the works, blessings aside, how hungry or thirsty are you for the presence of God himself?" Listen to the soul desire of the psalmist. "One thing I have asked of the Lord, and that I will seek, that I may dwell in his presence all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. We're instructed to seek and to deeply long for his face and his presence continually." Presence in its original meaning is for the word face. So to long for God's face is to reference a close personal encounter. And to walk in the Lord's presence is to walk where he is facing. That idea of close communion, alignment, attunement to the will and the purpose of the Almighty God. Are we like Moses who prayed for that very thing? "If I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways so that I may know you." Recognizing and understanding your ways more clearly. Moses said, "Lord, let me see your glory." Closely related to God's presence, a face-to-face encounter. Psalm 27 and 8 in the Amplified Bible says, "Seek my face, require my presence as your greatest need." Be intentional in knowing God. Be intentional in your spiritual disciplines, prayer, the word, worship, solitude. Let us not miss out on experiencing the presence of God. When all else is stripped away, God is. When you truly experience and embrace the presence of God, it changes you. And it changes me. It goes deeper than a head knowledge and scripture memorization that says, yes, God is everywhere. It goes beyond the physical, tangible blessings we receive out of God's goodness to us. It even moves us past the point of being still in the presence of God and being content in the holy moments. A true experience in the presence of God results in transformation. Sally Morgenthaler has said, "One of the greatest needs among churches today is not new programs, it's not a new seminar, it's not a new study. What is needed today is an encounter with God." An encounter with God. Now, we have looked at the omnipresent nature of God, the concept of God making our being our home and us making our home in him. We've talked about the beauty of a hunger and a thirst for him and him alone, and the transformation of an encounter with him. And such transformation is only possible through the indwelling presence of God. Before Christ's ascension into heaven, he spoke these words of comfort to the disciples, "But the Holy Spirit will come and help you, because the Father will send the Spirit to take my place." We are never alone. The tabernacle and temple housed the presence of God in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, John said, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Greek word translated to dwelt literally means tabernacled. Jesus served as God's presence on earth. And today, how amazing is it that as disciples of Jesus, the presence of the living God dwells in us? A.W. Tozer again said, "The world is perishing for lack of the knowledge of God, and the church is famishing for want of his presence." The instant cure for most of our religious ills would be to become suddenly aware that we are in God and God is in us. For we are the temple of the living God, Scripture says, and we have the privilege of carrying his presence with us wherever we go and sharing it with the world. So this morning, what is our response to the presence of God around us and in us? Are you aware of his presence? Do you hunger and thirst for it? Are you intentionally seeking his presence? Are you choosing to abide in his presence? And while we can recount and acknowledge the power of God's presence manifested in our midst at specific times and spaces in our lives, the presence of our God is not confined to time or space. His presence goes with us, and as we reflect on what the Word of God tells us and what we experience in our faith journey, how will we allow the presence of God to transform, to continue to transform us, to lead us, to use us in our family, in our workplace, in our core, in our community? In what areas are you seeking a greater awareness of his presence? Where do you need God to show up and act? How has his presence changed you? And how will you allow his presence to lead, guide, and transform you from this moment on? When I was in training in our spiritual formation class, we studied a book called Into the Depths of God by Calvin Miller. And in the 22 years since then, I've lost many things that I've owned. I've misplaced much of it. But that book is still on my shelf today because it transformed me in those days and in the days and years to follow. And Calvin Miller says in this book, "To only minister and never crave God's presence is to do the best we can," or I'll take liberty this morning and say, "is doing the most good with our completely powerless lives. Without him, we can do nothing. But with him, we will experience more than we could ever ask or imagine." In the preliminary music, I said to Roberta, "I think Nick is trying to wreck me right at the beginning." The band played a song that is based on Exodus 33, where Moses said, "Lord, if your presence does not go with us." And back those almost 22 years ago, I remember it was our commissioning weekend and our session sang that song. And every time I hear it since, talk about experiencing the presence of God, it just makes it more aware to me. But Exodus 33, verses 12, 14, and 15. Moses said to the Lord, "You've been telling me to lead these people, but you haven't let me know whom you're sending with me." And the Lord answered, "My presence will go with you. My presence will go with you, and I will give you peace." And then Moses said to them, "If your presence does not go with us, then do not send us up from here. How will anyone know we are your people unless you go with us?" Your presence with us distinguishes us from any other people on earth. Another translation says, "Then we'll be different. Then we'll be different. Your presence, God, makes us different." So may we go forth today different, changed, transformed by the presence of an almighty and a holy God. And Rachel is going to lead us in a song. She's going to sing for us in his presence. And these are moments where we have opportunity to respond to what the word of God has spoken to our heart. The word is alive and active. I pray that something that I've been able to share from it will have spoken to us. But in these moments, the opportunity is given for us to respond to that. How will we respond to the presence of God this morning? Maybe for some, you would like to come and kneel at the place of prayer. Maybe you'd choose to stay where you are. But whatever we find ourselves or wherever we find ourselves in this moment, the simple ask is that we would be responsive to the Holy Spirit's leading in our life, that we would be aware of his presence, that we would intentionally seek his presence, and we would respond as he leads this day.
Thank you for listening to Refresh. Be sure to hit subscribe and like us on Facebook and YouTube to never miss an episode. If you liked what you heard, be sure to share it with your friends and family. We pray that you will be refreshed and ready to take on your week. See you next time. God bless.